God, for your mercy, your goodness, your grace, your blessing, your favor, and all of your generosity and kindness to us. God, we understand we don't deserve any of it, but you choose to bless us with it. And so we are thankful. We're overflowing with gratitude in our hearts and out of our spirits. Even with the praise, the sacrifice of praise on our lips, God, we willingly and we openly offer it unto you today. For who can deliver like you? Who can heal like you? Who can bless like you, God? And who can save from sin like you? And so, God, we understand you're worthy. And if we had 10,000 tongues, we still couldn't tell it all. And even if we had a multitude of resources and gold and silver, we still couldn't pay for it. And so, God, we thank you right now. Somebody is pressing through their pain and their problems, their circumstances, God. They're climbing over those things to get to you right now. So, God, we remove every obstacle to our praise. For we know when praise goes up, blessings come down. Liberty is ours. Healing is ours. Salvation and deliverance are ours. And so, God, we're not going to let anything. Satan, we serve notice to you. Your agenda has been canceled for the day. Your will, God, we thank you that his will has been null and void, God. We thank you, God, that his traps have been set, but they will not be successful. And so, God, we thank you. We celebrate Jesus in this place on today. We give him reverence. We honor his name for everything he is and who he is to us. And God, we thank you for this precious moment that others wish they could enjoy, but we're here right now. God, let us not waste it. Let us enjoy it. Let us come closer now that we might hear from heaven for our lives' sake. We ask it now in Jesus' holy name that you would use this vessel of clay through the weariness and even through the pain for your glory and for the edification of this body. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're all right today, give God some praise. Slap your neighbor, high five, and tell him, I'm glad to be here. Amen. I'm glad to be here. It's raining and dreary and stormy outside, but the sun is shining in here. Amen. 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 We give reverence and praise to God the Father, who is our guide, comforter, and our lead. And we honor the name of Christ in this place and his Holy Spirit's power. Amen. And certainly to Pastor Emeritus in his absence and his family and the official staff of this great church, we count it a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. The Lord knew the line is up this way, and so we jump right into it. Lamentations chapter number 3. Amen. Amen. He knew what we needed for today. Lamentations chapter 3. I want to pick up with verse number 21, and we're going to read through verse 26. I want to deal with some of the prior verses as well, but this will be the primary course of the text on the day that we will be dealing with. Jeremiah, the author of this, writes in verse 21, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new." Somebody said brand new. Brand new every morning. "Great is thy faithfulness." Hear him when he says, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." We conclude with verse 26. "It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." You may be seated. I want to talk from this particular thought this morning: faithfulness without fail. Faithfulness without fail. Amen. Anybody glad that God's faithfulness does not fail? Amen. When we look at this word, and I don't know, in this modern context, faithfulness maybe not doesn't mean a whole lot to us today. But when you talk about being faithful and the character of someone as they exemplify faithfulness, it is a word that carries the understanding that it means to adhere firmly or to be devoted to someone or something. In the sense that that devotion and that adherence elicits or demands one's fidelity as a result of their commitment. In other words, it suggests an undeviating attachment and a steadiness, a sincerity, and a reliability. It is allegiance to and alignment with. We understand that word very clearly as it is defined in a dictionary. But as it is played out, I sometimes wonder if there's not some ambiguity, some gray area as to how this word really helps us to see God as God sees us. Well, there is some uncertainty because of our behalf. And the reason I say that is even as somebody is sitting in this room or somebody is sitting in some room around the world today, they're asking themselves the question, where was God in Houston, Texas, when Hurricane Harvey hit? Where was God when there was Irma that followed in Florida and Puerto Rico experienced their hurricane? And even as New Orleans and other cities are sitting on ready to receive whatever the storm and water will bring to them, someone somewhere is asking the question, where is this faithfulness of God? Where was God, some of you may say in this room, in my moment of my crisis? When I was sick in my body, I wondered about God, where were you, God, when I was at my lowest point? My marriage was on the rocks. My health had already failed. My change had been funny for a long time, and my change had become strange to me. And all of these things were happening, and you could not get past the fact that you had to ask, God, where are you? Maybe I'm in the wrong house. Maybe you've always had it together. Maybe you've always known what God, you always felt God's presence with you. You've always known about God's faithfulness. But I have to admit, then be honest with you, that there have been some moments where I've wondered about God's omnipresence. God, are you with me? The everywhereness of God was challenged in my theology by what I saw going on in my circumstance. And I had to ask with tears in my eyes, God, where are you? You promised you'd never leave me nor forsake me. But my brothers and sisters, I believe that as we wondered where God is in our moments of crisis, I believe that there is a flip side to this relationship. I believe that there are moments where God has wondered, where are you in your moments of comfort? Let me say that again. You're wondering where God is in your moments of crisis. And God on the flip side is saying, where are you in your moments of comfort? Yeah. Let's be honest. There you were in your moments of defeat. You feel you had been defeated because you had been deserted. Anybody ever been there? You're feeling like you were bruised up by your circumstance because he bowed out of your circumstance. And you feel like you are lowly because he left. Is there anybody here? You feel depressed because you feel like you were being dropped. That God has dropped you off and left you where you are in your pain. But here is the reality, my brother and sister, as we sit here so beautifully dressed in our attire on today. The reality is, while you are in your feelings, the reality is God has always been there. You feel like you were deserted, you were bowed out on, you were left, and you were dropped. But the reality is God has always been there holding your heart when it was hurting. Are y'all going to talk to me today? Protecting your heart when it had been hurt, healing your hurts, handling healing your haters and your headaches, helping you with your hang-ups. Are y'all going to talk to me in here? Honoring you with your good health, and then handling and handing us houses that we did not build. God has been there for us. And not only did he hand us houses we did not build, he put a hedge around that house so that the devil couldn't have his way with those who lived on the inside. Your resources were preserved. Your mind, your strength were all preserved because God, whether you saw it or not, has always been there. So that harm did not harass you in your house. God has been there. And then you consider, after he has halted, helped, handed you, and all of those things that he's done, do you ever consider the thanks God gets? He who never wavers, who never diminishes, who never changes. He, as they just got through saying, whose compassions never fail. He has done all of that, and the thanks that God gets, does it really match up to what he has done? And I'm not talking about for the world. I'm talking about for some of us in this room. Does the thanks that you're giving God with your life match up to everything God has done? And watch this, promise to do that he will do if you stay faithful to him. Here's what God really has to deal with for many of us. God has to watch us be blessed by his own hand. And watch this. Then after we have been blessed and after we have been filled, then we are guilty of feeding and fleeing. Y'all know what that means. That means that you have been highly favored and blessed by the Lord, but when it comes time for serving him and blessing his name, you are AWOL and absentee. Taking God's blessings and then walking away from him. Don't be guilty of feeding and fleeing from the presence of the Lord. When you look at the backdrop of this book, Lamentations, Jeremiah is the writer there. Truth, God has been faithful to us even when we were faithless in him. He would have been justified if he had left us in some places and in some stuff that we were in, some of which we got ourselves in, and God was faithful unto us. And Jeremiah, as he remembered the beauty of God's blessing upon Israel and Judah, as God had so eloquently established them in their own land and given them the blessing of his favor, that all their enemies in coming into that land were moved out of the way, and here they are displaced. After having been blessed as such, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, sits down and writes this 5-chapter letter of crying and tears, a heart-filled letter about how God's beloved people had been carried away from their homeland. They're homeless, and the land now lies desolate. But not only was Jeremiah weeping on a national level of what had happened, but on a personal level. Chapter 3 brings us closer to Jeremiah's personal experience in what was a national calamity. Some of you in here right now can understand and relate to this, because as long as 45 is in the White House, you're going to have some trouble. But can I give you some news that if we live to see 46... he gonna bring trouble too, and 47, and 48. So the reality is, if God's people will not hear his name and hear his voice, will not turn from their wicked ways and seek his face, then it doesn't matter who's in the White House, doesn't matter who's in the governor's mansion, doesn't matter who sits in the mayor's office, doesn't matter who the pastor is, or whoever the legal and whatever the representatives are, it does not matter. Things are still going to cause us tears. So what is the answer? Jeremiah says, well, as I sit here today, I've had some personal experience with this pain. Jeremiah said, this not only has affected the nation, but it has affected me individually. And Jeremiah, in the midst of that, he is remembering with his weeping the faithfulness of God, of all the ways that God had made for Israel and all the favor that was on their life. And yet that had not been enough to steer them away from following after their own lusts and desires and disobedience. Jeremiah pleads God's case even as he pleads Israel's case, proving God's point as he proves their disobedience. That even in some of the worst seasons of our lives, God's always been faithful. I like Jeremiah because he declared the sovereignty of God in what has happened in this situation. And yet there is some confusion as to why God allows it. We know that when we mess up, that there is judgment to come. But when it does come, isn't it strange how we are sometimes confused about why God is whooping us as he is? Anybody ever been there before? But here is the beauty of what he is talking about today. Number one, we see that there is a memory of this man's misery. If you go back to verse number one, Jeremiah says, I don't have to look to my neighbor's house. He says, I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of God's wrath. He has seen and gone through everything that everybody else did. He was not spared from the hardship just because he was God's preacher. Now, I need to say to you today that are in this house, that just because you're in church every week, just because you're doing everything that God has told you to do, does not mean that you'll always escape when God begins to deal with his people. Jeremiah was not off limits to what God was doing because it included the whole nation. Let me tell you today that there are some things God's going to do that's going to deal with judging our whole nation. No, you cannot go as far as we've gone away from him and not expect that God's rod of wrath will not come visit us and bring us back to where we need to be. And I remember that when Mama used to come through the room with the belt, I would always cry out, and my brother and sister would always cry out, I didn't do anything. And she said, but see, I'm whooping everybody. Because I know that you may not have done this, but there's something you did do that you thought you got away with. And so in essence, what Jeremiah is experiencing is when God comes through with his belt, that everybody inside the border is going to get a whooping. But the whipping is not because he doesn't love us. It's really because he's trying to make us better. Jeremiah said that I've had to go through that experience, and I've not only had to deal with it from the perspective of what you were doing with your people, but then also I've had some personal pain associated with it. Well, what is that pain, Jeremiah? Well, if you read in the verses following all the way to verse number 19 and 20, Jeremiah talks about his own experience. He says, I'm homeless like everybody else. You didn't let me stay in my house and move them out of theirs. I had to move out like everybody else. He says, I've become a laughing stock, a ridicule and wormwood. A bitter wormwood has become my meal. Jeremiah said, life got bitter for me. Everybody talking about, and when he would preach the message that judgment was going to come, it fell on deaf ears. Nobody wanted to hear the truth about what was really about to happen. And when things began to manifest, Jeremiah was considered a traitor to his own nation. He had become a ridicule and a laughingstock in the public square among the people, so much so that he desired to stay in a place of hiding. Jeremiah says here in verse 19 and 20, I have not forgotten about those days. I have not, my soul has not gotten over being in that place and going through those things. It brought depression upon me when I considered my personal pain with what was going on. Brings him to the bottom. There's no peace. Prosperity has long been forgotten among the people of God. Strength and hope seem to have perished coming from the Lord. But here is the good news, that even as we see one man's misery in this text, there is good news, because number two, he is also mindful of the multiple mercies of God. He says in verses 21 through 23, he says, as I consider where my soul is, he says, I also have a change of thought and my mind transitions to the goodness of God in the midst of what I'm going through. When you have been bent, broken, crushed, blasted, it can also make you bitter. It's a natural reaction that when people have been mean to you, to be mean back to them, to ultimately have yourself shut down and shut off communication with everybody who has hurt you. That's why some folk don't come to church, because somebody hurt them, and to help themselves feel better, they rather stay away from you. Oh, y'all are going to talk today. Okay, that's all right. That's all right. But they're bitter. And some of us that may be here are not far from it ourselves. You're just about two Sundays away from throwing in the towel and going on home and waving the white flag and say, I've had enough. And Jeremiah helps us, because unless there is a change of thinking and transition in your thinking, you will become bitter because of your experience. Jeremiah has a change of thinking which is powerful in itself. Jeremiah recalls to mind. Here, this word mind means his heart. In other words, Jeremiah calls to the center of his emotion, the center of his thinking, the center of his logic, the center of his person. He calls to that place from what has already been registered there. In other words, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying to you today, you can't recall what was never registered. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. See, the reason why some of us go off the edge and go on into bitterness is because there's nothing registered in your mind and in your heart that will lead you to a different avenue in your thinking. Write this down. By what you are able to recall, reflect on, recant, review, and recite. Thereby, you will also find your renewing, your refreshing, your reviving, and your releasing. Oh, it's quiet in here today. Basically, all I said to you is that when you are in a place where your heart has been broken, your spirit has been wounded, your feelings have been bruised and hurt, your ego has been diminished, it's what you have recalled, and you can recant and review and recite from the word of God that God has spoken to you prior to what you are going through now, that will bring your renewal, your refreshing, your reviving, and ultimately your relief, your ability to get over and to climb out of that feeling and the feelings of yourself. That's the only thing you have that you can really count on that will get you through a depressing and deflating moment in your life. And the problem with most of us is there's not enough registered there, because when we were in comfort, we were missing Bible study. Absent from Sunday school and toned out during times like right now. And so when you met the devil on Monday, you had nothing to fight with. And God forbid that he met you on Tuesday
after he worked you over on Monday, and then Wednesday came with a stronger devil at a new level, and you were just all messed up and discombobulated. By the time you got to Friday, you couldn't wait to Sunday so you could eat again. But don't you know, baby, you better learn how to feed yourself. I love you dearly, and I do the best I can to feed you on Sunday. But if that's all you're eating, you're going to starve. And you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle because Jeremiah gives us the opening. He says, I bring it back to our remembrance. Don't you know if you got the Holy Spirit in you, his first ministry, as the Bible says, is to remind you of what Jesus has already spoken. I know you wake, you want to shout and make you run all over and jump pews, but the first ministry of the Holy Spirit for the believer is to remind you of what the Word says. And thereby guiding your life even through the most difficult and dark moments. The problem is we don't really want him around us when we leave here. I would dare say we look at it like a job. I check out, clock out, put my worker's apron down, and go on back to my me time. I see you next Sunday, Holy Spirit. It does not work that way. Don't you know he lives on the inside of you? He's constantly bringing to your remembrance and to your mind. It's just some of us have selective hearing. We only hear what we want to hear. We hear him say, blessed and highly favored. But we don't hear him say, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. It works both ways, what you want and what you must have. You got to have those things together to have the full counsel of the word. And if I give you half the story, I've done you an injustice. Because you're going to catch hell out there when you leave here, and you may be what Jeremiah is. You're going to need to be able to recall some stuff. Jeremiah said, I recall to my mind, and watch what it does. He says, it releases hope within me. Here it is. He's locked in a physical place where it's not desired to be, much less stay there. And Jeremiah is crying out to God and says, by what I recall from your word, it brings me some hope. Can I ask you a question? What is it that you remember from the word of God? That regardless of what the context of your circumstance is, you don't care. It just still brings hope that whatever it is, if I'm sick, I'll be healed. If I'm broke, I'll be blessed. If I'm down, I'll be lifted. If I'm lost, I'll be saved. If I'm in trouble, I will be delivered. Does the word of God remind you of that when bring hope to you, even though your circumstance may not change? The word, thank God, has not changed either. That's what we need to remember. He says, therefore, I have hope. Jeremiah makes two definite declarations. And anytime you're in a place where you're being challenged by your circumstance, you need to learn the power of declaration. The enemy knows that you carry that Bible under your arm. He's really not afraid of that. He knows that you are faithful as a church attender. He's really not afraid of that. He's a faithful attender too. Somebody brings him, make sure he gets a ride every Sunday, I promise you. And they carry him back home with them too. He's not afraid of those things. Can I tell you what he is afraid of? He is always afraid of believers who believe God enough to declare what God is able to do regardless of circumstance. What Jeremiah does is he says he unlocks for us in the place where he's down, but he has recalled. And when you're able to recall, that's the beginning of your recovery. And Jeremiah gives two definite declarations that open the mind of believers and help us to be able to see that no circumstance is too hard for God. First thing he says in verse 22, he says, the Lord's mercies. Number one, he tells us that the mercies of God have prevented your demise. Don't you know that you've gone through enough stuff that should have killed you by now? You swerved through enough accidents. You've had enough traps set for you. You've had enough sickness in your body, whether you went to the doctor or not, don't you know an infection that's untreated can ultimately kill you? All of us have had sickness in our body. We've had haters that tried to cut us out. And all of that, he says, definitely the mercy of God has prevented my demise. That may not mean much to those of you who've always had a life of comfort and been sheltered, but for those of us who've been in some stuff, those of us who have been dragged behind the wall and got a shown off whooping by the wall, it matters to us that those things, because of God's mercy, could not kill us. I had to learn this. It took me to being an adult to understand this principle. That when God has a purpose on your life, watch this, there are things that God will supernaturally preserve you from and preserve you through so that his purpose reaches manifestation. In other words, by natural circumstances, it should have got you when it came. It should have taken you out. And without supernatural intervention and a merciful God, you would be 6 feet under. But God had a purpose, and he spared you so that that purpose can be realized. But I do need to warn you, his spirit won't always strive with you. If he spared you and you're still sitting on the fence and still contemplating following him and serving him, God will let another circumstance move you, shake you like we talked Wednesday night, so that he can get your attention. But he has preserved us. It has prevented our demise. But the second declaration he gives us is this. He says, his compassion reaches me without fail. You ever had somebody mail you something and 3 weeks later they call you and say, hey, did you get that package? And they say, oh, no, I didn't ever receive it because I guess it got lost in the mail. The mailman forgot to deliver it that day, or somebody delivered it to the wrong address and it never arrived at me. And what Jeremiah is saying is that when God sends his compassion, his love, it always hits the target that it was intended for. It's never a mistake. It's never detoured. It's never delayed or denied. It always arrives at the right address. Can anybody just celebrate that? It comes without fail. It cannot go back saying return to sender, undeliverable address. It always reaches, if it has to run you down, to another address. It always forwards to where you are. I think I'm talking to the comfortable crowd this morning. They're saying, Pastor, you're telling us all about how your struggles have been, but we don't know anything about those things. We have always been in the comfort and the presence of the Lord. God bless you, sister or brother. But there are some of us in here that have gone through hell and high water, and we wondered many times how we were getting through it, how we were staying above the water and just floating on through that thing. And now we understand it was because there was some mercy that came our way that prevented our demise, and then some compassion, love extended to us that also reached us in our lowest and pulled us back up to where he wants us to be. And so if you'll just excuse that crowd, we'll give God some praise for a moment. Don't bother us. Don't mind us. We just want to tell him we thank him for making that mercy and that compassion arrive when it did, because truth be told, that was our last day. Our last dive. Our last decision. And he helped us make it because of his love. I went this way, but he wanted me to go this way. And so mercy kind of shifted us. Says, mercy, we are not consumed. That means that thing that would have overwhelmed you, that would have destroyed you, that would have taken you out. And the enemy himself, Peter tells us, he goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That word means to drink you down to the last drop, to make sure there's no evidence ever there that you ever came that way. That's your enemy. And God says to us through Jeremiah that out of all of his plots and all of his tricks, he has not succeeded in cutting you out. So we should be thankful that we have mercy and we have his compassion that has prevented our demise. When you think about his mercy preventing our demise, well, it is in what God has bypassed or passed by or looked beyond that this really works. See, we like to think that God helps us because we're his sweet little angelic children. But what this word really means to us as it reaches Israel's ears is that no, in spite of your sin, I don't see the sin. I see you as sons and daughters. Here it is, that where I am, what I feel and what I have endured, I really sometimes deserved. Ouch. What I have had people do to me and what I've done to others and what things I've had experienced in life, I really deserved. Ouch, again. I really deserved it and more. I had enough going on that should have killed me. I had enough sin in my life to destroy me. I had enough haters go around me. They should have swarmed around me. I got bit by the rattlesnake, but even in getting bit, I was not devoured. I was not devoured. Praise God. And then he says his compassions fail not, his feelings for us. This word is often used in the New Testament with Jesus when he would reach people who were in a hurting or they were in some capacity where they were outside full capacity of their limbs and their bodily functions. And it said that Jesus had compassion upon them. And that word means not just to feel internally in the bowels, but also to have that feeling stretch out and do something about the situation. And what Jeremiah is saying to us here is that when God finds his people in trouble and in sin, God reaches out to do something about it. Aren't you glad that we have the record of Jesus that does something about our sin? Well, if he does something about our sin, don't you know there's not much else that he's not willing to handle in your life? If he took away your sin and handled your sin problem, don't you know that sickness is no trouble for him to handle right now? He says his compassions fail now, fail not, even as we are whipped and even as we are going through the pain. Compassion says there's only so many licks that we're going to get. You ever think, mama, that she could have kept whooping you? My mama used to whoop till the switch broke. And then she said, go get the belt. But I knew even if she went and got the belt that her arm and her elbow was not going to last all day. That eventually she going to get some tennis elbows. She going to get something happen. And she going to have to cease the licks. And I knew that not because of just the pain it was going to cause her. I knew that she wasn't going to whoop me all day because at some point she would have to transition to making dinner for everybody, to washing clothes for everybody. You understand where I'm going with this? She had to transition those hands from whooping back to providing for the needs of her children. And God is no different than that. He always, even though he's whooping us, you still breathe in oxygen and pour out carbon dioxide. And for that, you ought to say, God, I thank you that your compassion fails not. In other words, what you're doing to hurt me right now, there is a limit on it. Oh, I thank God there's a limit on it. It's not going to last always. As Psalm 30 verse 5 tells us, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Here it is, fail not, Kalah in the Hebrew, which means to come to an end by ceasing or to declare that the work it was started for has finished. Here's what he says. He says, in other words, God never determines that his love is at reached his end. That you've done so much now that I can't love you beyond this. I can't keep you past this. But he says that it fails not. It never ceases no matter the season that you are in. And what I love about this text is that these twins, mercy and grace. Because I believe compassion is the grace of God. He said this, he says, that it meets us every morning. I wish I had some help here. I said grace and mercy meet us when? Every morning. Hopewell, have you said hello this morning to mercy? Have you bothered to say hello, compassion? Good to see you again. I've been waiting on you all night because the Bible told me you'd be here bright and early, and I thank you for keeping your word. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Because here's what you need to understand. He says it's brand new every morning. Jesus helps us in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. When he says, give us this day our daily bread. Don't you know bread cannot always be measured by what is in your bank account? And bread cannot always be measured by what you're wearing or driving. Don't you know sometimes your bread is his mercy? When you say, Lord, you watched over us all night long. Grandmama used to say, you didn't let harm come before or on your children while we slept and slumbered. And so that is bread for us, even in a starving land. And not only that, we have compassion. Don't you know what Jeremiah really is saying to us is that if it really ever failed us, we would really be in trouble. But I thank God it is renewed, it is repetitive, and it is resetting. And so all I can exclaim is, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. I thank God for his faithfulness. Have I got a witness here? Because even when I was doing my own thing and I was going my own way, great is thy faithfulness. Look at where you are, Hopewell, versus where you were in your life. And you have to say, great is his faithfulness. God has been long-suffering with a whole lot of us. He's had his hand of protection on us a long time ago. And can I tell you, God expects faithfulness from us because we have seen the demonstration of compassionate commitment and faithfulness from him. And not only from him in just any sense, but at the highest level, God has been faithful to us. And so I leave you with this today, that because we've seen Jeremiah's misery and we have seen multiplied mercies, then you've got to learn, Hopewell, to make yourself merry with his manifestations. I hear Jeremiah saying, the Lord is my portion. Have I got a witness here? He says, the Lord is my favor. And the presence of God with me is the best inheritance spent now. In other words, most times you got to wait until somebody dies in order to spend or get your portion. Well, don't you know Jesus has already died for us? And what Jeremiah says is to us, we have the favor of God. Yeah, Lord, I feel good right now. Because there have been days in my life I wondered where my portion was. But I thank God that his faithfulness is filling full on. Have I got a witness here? If I have him, I have all that's sufficient to balance all of my troubles in the life. Have I got a witness? is here not only to balance my troubles, but makes up for my losses. Have I got a witness here? While earthly portions are empty and fleeting, they'll run out and spend up. I thank God that what he has for us is on the eternal level. Yeah, Lord, I thank God that his portion never fails me. And I thank God that I will, as Jeremiah said, I will hope in the Lord. Have I got a witness here? I wondered why my father's favorite song was, I'll trust in the Lord until I die. Well, it was 4 years ago today that he met eternal glory when he walked out of this life into God's presence, and all of his hopes, all of his dreams were now realized. And that's why he said, I'm going to trust in the Lord until I die, because trust will pay off. Have I got a witness in here? Jeremiah said, the Lord is good to them that wait on him. Can I ask you a question? Is there anybody here, in spite of what you're going through, that's determined in your mind, I'm gonna wait on the Lord? Say yeah, yeah, oh yes. Wait on the Lord and seek him. He says it's good. Tell your neighbor, it's good. Y'all ain't saying nothing. It's good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. I tell you this, I've learned how to be content with whatever state I find myself in, because when a man walks in the faith of the promise, he'll also be able to watch for God's presentation. Have I got a witness here? Salvation, deliverance, blessing, and recovery. Wait on the Lord and be of good cheer. He will strengthen your life. Anybody tried him for yourself? Slap your neighbor a high five and tell them, I tried him in the midnight hour. He rocked me to sleep when my enemies were all around me. God was a hedge of protection all around me. The haters thought they had me. The devil thought he had trapped me. But Jesus made a way for us. Somebody said, what was the path to your deliverance? Can I tell you one more time? One Friday evening on a hill called Calvary, they hung him high and stretched him wide. He died on that cross, and they buried him in a borrowed tomb. But can you stand and can you celebrate early Sunday morning? He got up with all power in his hands. Yeah, yes. Anybody know him? Your help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Don't you quit. Don't you give up. God is faithful, even in your faithful season. God is faithful, even in your faithless season. Whatever God has brought you through, you ought to tell him, thank him.
thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you in the morning. Thank you in the evening. Late at night, whatever you've gone through, is there anybody here that's not ashamed today to say, God, it was nobody but you? Well, everybody.